And now it's time for Knowledge is Power Radio, brought to you by Flagler County Schools.
Welcome to Knowledge is Power News Radio with Flagler County Schools. I'm Colleen Conklin, the chair of the Flagler County School Board, and I have the pleasure of hosting this week's show with some amazing students, parents, and teachers who just returned from the Future Problem Solving Program International Conference in Ames, Iowa, where they competed with students from all over the world. For those of you who don't know, Flagler County started participating in this program in 1994, and believe it or not, they have come back world champions since 1995, never missed a year, and usually multiple world titles. It all started with Buddy Taylor Middle School, and now, believe it or not, our little Flagler County is world known. So let's go ahead and get started and begin with, you know, what is the Future Problem Solving Program, known as FPS. So in the studio today, we have Will DiAgostino. He's with us and a recent graduate of Flagler Palm Coast High School. So congratulations to you, Will. I know you've been involved with FPS throughout high school. Can you tell us about it and what's so special about the program?
FPS is a wonderful program that is made up of various components. The special thing about FPS is that it allows the student to address concerns within our world and really look to the future and see how these concerns can affect us as people in the future. Depending on the component, the student can either work with a team or work by themselves to solve those issues or concerns, or even address concerns within their his or her own community and really create ways to solve that and put that into practice. Which is something that I did being a graduate. I did multiple of these components, if you will. With Future Problem Solving, I was able to work with students or peers, and we were able to look at, I guess, issues that would be relevant to the future and create solutions. But more importantly, while it's a little bit theoretical in that aspect, it's the great thing is you're working with students, and so you're learning that skill of collaboration. And being a graduate, that's something that I feel I can definitely take into my collegiate, I guess, experience and the real world after that, because collaboration is something that's very important. Through community problem solving, I was able to work with peers, as I said before, and we addressed concerns within our own county. We were able to, through Project Self-Confidence, go out into the county and put those, solutions into practice. So the FPS program really has worked well for me in that it's allowed for personal growth, I feel like, and it's something that I can use in the future. And it's something that, as a student, it's very, a cool thing to be able to go into your school, whether it be elementary, middle, or high school, and not just to join an extracurricular activity, but also to join an activity that's relevant for your future as a person and in many ways also relevant to your community and allows you the opportunity to work with the community and to put into practice different solutions and to benefit the community.
And I think that's pretty cool because a lot of the programs, I know over the years, you all, graduates, you've really left your mark on the school district and on the community, kind of a legacy to carry on. You know, the community will know that you have been here by some of the programs that you've instituted and really started.
Right. Yeah, it's a very neat thing to be able to do that. And something that we did with our project is we put our efforts into the curriculum so it's able to affect students for years to come. Also, as I'm moving on, I was able to work with students in sixth grade level all the way up to, their authorities or the officials at the different schools and above that. So that's another collaboration or communication skill that I was very happy to have learned.
Sure.
But definitely, I guess, being able to leave that mark is very important to me.
That's kind of neat at such a young age to be able to leave a legacy. Very neat.
Yes, sir.
And next, we have some of our international winners as well in the studio today. And our next student from Buddy Taylor Middle School is Daniela Bordone. You were involved in two different projects, both placing third internationally. The first one, group scenario writing category. Daniela, if I understand correctly, that the international scenario writing competition requires a student to write a futuristic story about 1,500 words or less, and it must occur 20 years into the future, but you have to write it with a group of students from really around the world, right? So can you tell us a little bit more about this really interesting perspective of competition?
Well, scenario writing isn't something that's as well known as the other components of FPS. Not as many people do it, but I have really enjoyed it, and it's really benefited me as a person. It's definitely increased my writing ability and my vocabulary, as well as my knowledge of the topics, because you have to do a lot of research for it. All of the stories this year had to be based off the international topic intellectual property, which means like how people own ideas instead of actual physical things. So what you would do is you would get paired with 3 to 4 people. It would be a 3 to 4 person team. This year, mine was 3 people.
Were they from different countries?
Not this year. I had all the people from America. However, they were from different states.
Gotcha.
And what you do is come together to write a cohesive story in parts at the same time. So you have to do a lot of pre-planning, or else your story won't make any sense since you're all writing it at the exact same time. You're not going to be sure exactly what the other person is going to say. You just have to make sure you really solidly know where they're starting and where they're ending so that your story flows correctly.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So different perspective than everybody else when they come together to compete. But I would imagine there has to be a lot of cooperation, a lot of collaboration and agreement on where the story is going to go. Because if you have your ideas out there in order for them to flow together, right, you have to cooperate with the other people on your team.
Yeah, there's a lot of cooperation involved in scenario writing, since everything needs to be pre-planned or else your story won't make any sense whatsoever.
Sure, sure. So what happens in 20 years into the future?
There's definitely a lot of problems. That's one of the things that's different about scenario writing. All of the other components focus on how you're fixing the problems, but these are, like, scenario writing is actually writing about the problems itself, not the solution.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. We'll have to post that on our website so everyone can read it. Sounds interesting. And Daniela, so I understand you were also involved in another project entitled Don't Stress, Beat the Test. And I absolutely cannot wait to hear about this one. So it was designed by a team, correct?
Yes. 6 of my friends came together at the beginning of our 8th grade year to solve a problem that was really affecting all of us, and that was stress from testing. So we've put in multiple aspects to definitely decrease the stress of the students, but mostly prepare them for the tests more, because if you feel prepared for a test, you won't necessarily feel as stressed about it because you'll know what you're doing and you'll feel like you are more ready for it. So one of the things that we did to prepare the students was we created lessons during lunch for any and all 8th grade students to come into, where they can not only review the standards that they're learning in class, but they can also have any questions that they had in class answered and learn studying habits that are good to keep up, like that'll help you retain more information, and also just how to keep calm during tests. And these lessons were run by the following students that were involved in my project. And we definitely think that this helped the students. We have some reviews from students, and they were all very positive. They all said that it helped them more than they thought it would when they got to the test, and they found themselves using the strategies that we taught them.
And I'm sure those other students from around the country and around the world who had an opportunity to see your solution to this problem, we're very interested because this is a big one.
Yes, definitely. When we were at the CMPS fair, which is a thing that we have at internationals where people can come around and check out your project and you present to anyone that wants to hear about it, everyone had very positive feedback. We had another project from Singapore that had a similar sort of project, and they were very impressed by the things that we came up with because they took a completely different approach to it.
Excellent. So they might take back some of your strategies to Singapore and utilize them in Singapore.
Yes, ma'am.
Outstanding. And now from FPC, are two team members, second place winners for their project called Let's Get Drown to Business. Yes, that was Drown to Business. We have Ashley Robshaw and Brielle Goldberg in the studio. So, of course, the title begs the question, what is this all about? Let's Get Drown to Business. Tell us more.
Our project, Let's Get Drown to Business, is a marketing plan to advocate water safety.
Safeguard youths against drowning in the year 2015 and beyond.
So living in the South and living in Florida, of course, this is a huge problem. What made you decide to pick this topic?
So my mom is a swim instructor. So, of course, even how we all see drownings every day during the summer, especially, I see them even more and hear about it so much. And we all thought doing something about water safety would be really good and have such a positive impact on our community.
Were you surprised to find out that a lot of children don't know how to swim?
It was amazing. I mean, how many kids really don't know how to swim? Because I know I grew up in St. Augustine, and I'm one of 10 kids.
Wow.
Yes, so we all learned how to swim at the Y, and it's just amazing because I never thought that kids really don't get that exposure to.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit about what it was like competing at internationals.
I didn't know what to expect at all. This was my first time ever competing, and it was amazing. I love seeing people from all around the world, and being able to have the dorm life for a few days was pretty great.
It was amazing. You just meet so many people, and you see so many different things that people can affect in their own community and different countries, especially some of the other winners from Singapore and Turkey. It was just amazing to see what impact they've made on their own communities as well.
Excellent. Did you see any projects that were similar to yours that you were able to kind of borrow ideas about?
They're a younger group, but in the middle division, but they did something. Their project was called Liquid Lifesavers. They did something similar to what we did, but at the same time different.
Excellent. Excellent. Did you make any new friends out there?
Oh, yeah. We've kept even the kids that are graduates that just graduated, we made close friends with them now, and also other people just from around the world. Some people from New Zealand, some kids from Illinois. It was pretty great.
I know this sounds like it was a lot of fun. I mean, it really does. It sounds like it was exciting. It sounds like it was a lot of fun, and you did something really great for your community. Did you learn a lot?
We learned that we are different types of workers. Brielle is the one who likes to have it all planned out, ready to go before we get there, and I'm the one who can do it precise and at the last minute. And then Ethan's just kind of that spare hand.
Yeah. Well, Ethan, since Ethan is not here, I will defend Ethan. He may have a different opinion. But you know what you've just described is you've described the real world. You've described the real world workplace, and everybody brings different skill sets to the table, and you have to learn to really work together. So it sounds like it was an excellent experience. Is it something you're going to continue to do in the future?
Well, we are losing Ethan, and so we will have different teammates next year. But we do want to keep our project and do something with it, but we do have to change our main focus.
Excellent, excellent. Maybe you can build upon it. So thank you for taking the time to come into the studio. I hope you stay involved and continue to solve problems in your own community. Outstanding. Thanks for joining us.
Our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Now we're going to go ahead and we're going to chat with Emma and Nikki. And Emma and Nikki are from Rimfire Elementary School. Emma Brito and Nikki Gannett, sixth grade students from Rimfire Elementary School, and their teacher, Mrs. Sue Stone. Before we hear about their first place winning project, ESOL 8, I want to start with a teacher question, if that's okay, Mrs. Stone. So how do you go about preparing students to learn this process and really get ready to compete internationally?
Well, I, along with four other teachers at Rimfire, work with a group of fifth and sixth graders on two aspects of problem solvers. We do both the global issues and the community problem solvers. And the global issues is where they really learn the process of identifying the challenges and how to organize their solutions and come up with them. As far as preparing them for internationals, this is Rimfire's first year qualifying, so we kind of learned that one together.
And so tell me a little bit about this as far as utilizing this program in the classroom. Fun? Exciting?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I really like to see on the community end them applying that to their community around them rather than the futuristic fictional world. I like to see them apply it to the real world that they're living in now.
Very relevant.
Right. And they were very passionate about their project this year, and that definitely came across.
Excellent. Well, there's no doubt, Ms. Stone, that you are an outstanding teacher. And
you.
So, Emma and Nikki, tell me a little bit about your project and what ESOL 8 is.
ESOL 8 is an after-school program that helps non-English-speaking students improve their English skills.
And we noticed since this program started till it ended up ending that they had a very significant impact, and they are now, like, talking a lot more. They're getting a lot of better grades. Like, they would come to us and be so excited that they now are getting 100s, and now they're, like, getting a lot of new friends, and they're
so you could immediately see the fruit of your labor. You could immediately begin to really feel the benefit of what you were doing.
Yes.
How did that feel?
Well, it was great because we taught them everything that they needed to know, and we kind of made that happen for them. So
that had to be a pretty amazing feeling.
Yeah, we were like very happy because we wanted them to know that we were not only there to like be their teachers, but there as their friends, like if they needed any help with anything other than like school and like things that they needed extra help on, that they were
outstanding. So this was far more than just learning English.
Yeah, it was more like being their friends and being there for them and helping them out with everything.
Excellent. So tell me about it, the experience of competing internationally.
It was very fun, but very like nerve-wracking, because when you're setting your board up that we had to set up in front of a bunch of judges and them judging, it was like very nerve-wracking. So like if like you didn't agree with someone, you couldn't be like screaming at them over everybody. You had to communicate.
True, right? This is the real world, right? And so even though it was nerve-wracking, would you do it all over again?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was fun.
Excellent. Okay. We appreciate you coming in and sharing your experience in the studio.
Thank you.
Our next fantastic future problem solver student is FPC student Daniel Thomas, awarded first place for his individual project Sense It, as in sense, not right, sense, pennies, nickels, dimes, but Sense It. Are we talking common sense?
No, we're not. We're talking about the sensory processing disorders that a lot of students on the autism spectrum face.
Oh.
And it's been said that over 90% of students on the autism spectrum have these type of sensory processing disorders that could disrupt their academic experience. So this year I wanted to work towards to find a solution to that.
So very interesting. Can you tell me why you chose this topic?
I've been working with students with special needs since middle school, and I've always really enjoyed it, and that's something I want to carry on in my profession when I'm older. And this year, I want to take a more academic approach to community problem solving. Last year, I focused on social isolation, and this year, I wanted to focus on their academics. So through research, I found about creating a sensory room, and I thought that would be the perfect project to carry on throughout the year.
Excellent. I know throughout the, it's really gained great reviews. And so I understand you've been involved with the program for a number of years. Is that correct?
Yeah, since seventh grade.
Wow. Can you tell me a little bit about what that has meant to you?
It's been a great program to be a part of. I went to Indian Trails and I did it with Mrs. Howson. And ever since then, it's been a really big part of school. And I've always enjoyed coming to school and working on my project.
Is it the actual solving of a problem that you love?
I would say that would be it, actually. Just finding solutions and ways to work towards, it's really inspiring, and it's really helped me to learn a lot of new skills to carry on in the future.
Well, I can tell you, watching what you have done over the years, that your legacy, you are definitely going to leave a footprint here in Flagler County when you go on to college.
Thank you.
Okay, so tell us about your experience competing at the international level. What was that like?
It was pretty stressful, especially with like setting up the board and things like that, and also interviews, which are extremely stressful. But it's actually really fun because you meet people all over the world. I know this last international conference, I met a lot of people from Australia and like Singapore and China as well. So it's really cool to be connected to a lot of these people and see how they do problem solving there, because it differs between countries. So it's always interesting to see.
So you see a cultural difference.
Yes, I do.
Excellent. Were you able to capture some additional ideas maybe and dealing with some of the programs or really some of the issues you're passionate about in students with autism?
Yes, I have. I've actually seen a few projects from the international conference that dealt with students with autism. And from their ideas, I was able to shape them into ways to fit those for Flagler County.
Excellent, excellent. And so in the studio also, we have a school board member, Andy Dance, and also parent of a student who participated in Future Problem Solvers. And Andy, can you give us a little bit of your perspective, both from as a school board member, if you will, and also as a parent of a student?
Sure, thank you. It's great to be here today. Really, the most important thing that I've seen, I've had two of my students, one in the elementary grades and then my middle daughter in the high school grades, go through the process, one with doing the scenario writing, which has significantly helped in their, I think as Daniela said earlier, vocabulary and writing skills. Most importantly, it helps to stimulate the critical thinking, encourages them to develop a vision for the future and prepares them in leadership roles as well.
Excellent. And so I know as you can see the benefit both as a parent and as a school board member. And as a school board member, I know you were very involved and I've commended you before on your leadership you've taken in helping to raise funds for the Future Problem Solvers to compete internationally and to travel the way that they travel, even though it's within the continental United States this year, it's still costly. And so can you talk to us a little bit about your fundraising ventures? I have a feeling they may come back up again next year.
Well, the first thing and most important is we developed a group that's going to perpetuate the mission and vision of future problem solving here in Flagler County. So we developed a group, the Future Problem Solving Program of Flagler County, and its task is going to be annually to raise funds for international competition so that after we come back from states, we don't have an immediate problem of not enough funds to help students and teachers get to international. And in doing that, we've set up a lot of social media to help get the word out. So we have a website now, which is flaglerfps.com, and also a Facebook page. You can search Facebook for Future Problem Solving Flagler County, and it'll come right up. So you can get all the information you need via social media and follow us on Twitter, which is also at FlaglerFPS. And the more members we get, the easier it's going to be to help us with getting the word out about how important the program is to our students and also to help raise funds for international competition.
So you heard that, everyone. Out in Flagler County, go to Facebook and like the Future Problem Solvers Facebook page and keep up with all the amazing things that they're doing, and not just during this time of year, but really throughout the entire year. We're really very fortunate to have in the studio a parent, Mrs. Bordon, who has actually had two students participate in the program, and she is Daniela's mother. And if you could just share from a parental perspective, the value of the program, if you would.
Well, both my daughters have participated. Mariana, who has participated for 4 years, she's now graduating high school. She got a lot out of it and was very inspirational for her sister and encouraged her to do the program too. And I've seen that it's really encouraged them to work very independently and to be very responsible for what they're trying to do when they're especially working on a community problem-solving project. There's a lot of deadlines to get to. There's a lot of work involved. So many late nights.
Right.
And just to see them working independently on something and being so successful without, you know, a teacher leading them.
Sure.
It's very independence fostering.
I know over the years when students have come to present to us at board meetings, the one thing that always stands out to me is the amount of passion that they come about the problem that they want to solve within the community. These kids are passionate about solving the problem.
Very much so, yes. Daniela in particular has put in a lot of time on this year's project, and also she was involved in a project at Bunnell too.
Sure. And it sounds like it helps broaden their perspective.
It does. And they get to work with other people, and it fosters leadership skills.
Excellent.
And writing skills are very much.
Well, you must be very proud.
Very proud of them, yes.
I know we're very proud of them. We really appreciate you coming into the studio and taking some time to share your story with us. And the program, my understanding, was founded in 1974 by a creative pioneer, Dr. E. Paul Torrence. And really, the whole concept behind it is about taking a local problem, using creative problem-solving skills. Because really, in the future, knowledge is at our fingertips. We can get it, but it's really about how we apply that knowledge, how we use that knowledge. And so it's very fitting for our first show, Knowledge is Power, that this is the topic. We appreciate everybody has taken the time today to join us. We hope you'll tune in next time for Knowledge is Power with Flagler County Schools.